طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. No problem. Okay, I have to watch the time carefully. Okay, Bismillah wa salat wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala ali wa man wala wa ba'd. This is our fourth session in Arabic lessons in fiqh, Al Mustawa Thalith, third level Islamic University of Medina Arabic program. We have been reading from Kitab al Tahara. And previously, Kitab al Tahara began on page 7. And previously, we read the Ta'arif of al Tahara. And we read also what is Al Hadath and what is Al Khabath. And in the last session, we read from page 8 and page 9, Bab Ahkam al-Miyahi, yani the chapter related to the rulings of waters, different types of water. And we said that water is divided into three divisions, and each one of them has a ruling that is specific to it. The first type of water is al-ma al-tahur, and the second type of ma is ma al-tahir, and the third type of water is al-ma and najis. Okay, so we want to just look back a little bit at what we talked about to refresh our memory. And for anybody, Mustafa just came back from Hajj, so he missed two sessions, and the Saiful are also returning. So let's just quickly look at on page 7, okay, Kitab al-Tahara. I'm not going to read it through completely, but I'm just going to go over it. You can try to follow a little bit. We're saying that Kitab al-Tahara. Okay, the first thing we're starting with what? Ta'arif al-Tahara, definition of Tahara. We said that this word Tahara, when it is used, mutlaqan, yani tutlaqu al-Tahara, wa yuradu biha an-nazahata an al-akthar wal-ib'ad, ibti'ad an al-shirki wal-ma'asi. Okay, so when the word al-Tahara is used in its unrestricted sense, what is intended by it is one of two things. Either an-nazaha an al-akthar, yani to free yourself, to purify yourself from that which is filthy, unclean, impurities. Or the meaning is al-ibti'ad an al-shirki wal-ma'asi. Yani distancing yourself from shirk and sins. So we see that one type of tahara is tahara from unclean things, impurities. And the other type of tahara is yani impure actions, behavior. Yani kufr and shirk. Tutlaq, yani meaning that yani atlaqa yutlaqu means that the expression here is used in its unrestricted sense. Yani tahara. We're not defining what kind of tahara. Yani we're not saying that we mean here a tahara al ma'anawiyya or tahara al hissiyya. Yani the abstract tahara or the physical, yani literal tahara. We're not saying what type, we're just using it in its general sense, its absolute sense, unrestricted sense. Then that means it's one of two meanings. Yani, keeping ourselves clean from physical impurities, or keeping ourselves clean from spiritual impurities. Kufr and shirk, and nifaq, and things like this. Okay, and then they mention two ayahs from the Quran which show, yani, this second type of purity, tahara, yani al-ibti'ad and al-shirk al-ma'asi. So they gave us the ayat in Surah, yani 33, ayat 33, innama yuridu Allah liyudhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahl al-bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira. Yani here, the meaning of this ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He wants, yani, to remove from the people of the ahl al-bayt, yani the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rich, yani uncleanliness, and to purify them with a real purification, meaning purify them from kufr and shirk and disobedience and all kinds of evil things. This is tahara ma'anawi. And then he gave another ayat from Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah, 103rd ayat, and he says that فَهَذِهِ tahara ma'anawiyyah غَيْرُ tahara al-hissiyyah. Okay, so this is very important to understand that there's two types of tahara. There's tahara ma'anawiyyah, the abstract tahara, spiritual tahara. And then there's a tahara hissiyya, yani the tahara that is perceptible, that you can see. You can touch, you can taste, you can smell, yani physical, material purification. In the language of the scholars of fiqh, tahara fil istilal fuqaha, it is raf'u ma yamna'u min as-salat wa nahwihima min hadathin aw khabathin. Yani the removal of that which prevents a person from prayer or acts of worship that require purification, either from hadath or khabath. Yani the removal of hadath or khabath. Okay, so now, yani we're going to know what is hadath, yani a condition or a state, and khabath means the actual physical impurities, things that are impure. Okay, but before that he said that this tahara, yani takun haqiqiyatan or hukmiyatan. Yani this tahara can be real, yani tahara in reality, haqiqiyatan, like tahara with water, purifying yourself, washing yourself with water, or it could be tahara, yani a type of tahara that takes on the ruling of purification, even though you're not physically washing the body with water, like the tahara with turab in tayammum. Yani when a person performs tayammum, this is a type of tahara, but it's tahara in terms of its legal ruling, yani it's a form of purification, hukmiya. Okay, then after this, they said also that the thing that you are removing in order to prepare yourself for prayer, to clean yourself and make yourself pure from prayer, رَفْعُ مَا يَمْنَعُ مِنَ السَّلَاةِ, it will either be حَدَث or it will be خَبَث. حَدَث, we said, is a condition, a state, وَصْفٌ يَقُومُ بِالْبَدَنِ يَمْنَعُ الْإِنسَانِ مِنَ السَّلَاةِ وَالطَّوَافِ وَنَحْوِهِمَا وَهُوَ قِسْمَانِ. يعني حَدَث means a condition or a state that exists in the body that prevents a person from salat or tawaf or things that require purification, and it is of two types, حَدَث أَصْغَر and hadath akbar. Hadath asghar means the lesser hadath, that which requires wudu, like urinating or defecating. And hadath akbar is the major state or condition which necessitates taking a complete bath, like the person who has janaba. After that we said, what is khabath? We said khabath is the actual najasa, and najasa, that which yani comes in contact with the body or the clothing or the ground, or other than that, the impurity itself, the urine, the feces, the najasa that may come in contact with something, whether it's your body or your clothing or the earth, and it makes that thing become unclean because it has been touched by something that is najis and najasa. And we covered almost the whole thing just now. As far as water, quickly, Bab Ahkam al-Miyahi, the chapter concerning the rulings of water, different types of water. Yani Miyahi is the plural of Ma'un. And we said the first type of water is At-Tahur. It is the water that remains in its original state. Haqiqatan. Aw Hukman. It remains in its original state. It actually has no change in it. Or that's haqiqatan. Hukman means that for all intents purpose, it still has the ruling of water that's in its natural state. There's no significant change to it. Okay? So water that remains in its natural state, in reality, perfectly in its natural state, unchanged, or hukman, for all intents purpose, is still in its natural state, even if it has some kind of minor change that doesn't affect it in any real way. That water is called tahur. Ta with fatah, hur, tahur. With fatta. The example that they gave of the water that remains in its natural state in reality is the water that descends from the sky. Rain water. Rain, ice, snow. It's in its real natural state, unchanged. The example of the water that remains in its natural state, hukman, is the water that has been changed by the presence of something that is difficult to protect water from. Like leaves falling from a tree into a pond or into a river or into a lake. And this is something that can't be prevented. So that water, for all intents purpose, is still in its natural state. But we say it is not haqiqatan, we say it is hukman. For all intents purpose, it still has the same ruling as the water that's in its completely natural state. This is tahur. This is the water, that first type of water is tahur. And its ruling is that Naam, yani the water that's changed by something that's difficult to protect the water from, like tahalib. Tahalib, yani is the plural of tuhlub. تحلب means water moss. يعني the growth that comes on the top of the water, some kind of growth that comes on the top of the water, that is natural. It doesn't really affect the condition of the water. So something like that, it doesn't affect the water. So that water is still in its natural state, حكمًا, for all intents and purposes. In ruling, it has the same ruling of water in its completely natural state, even though there's something in it. Like algae, something like that, okay? Its ruling, حكمه, is that it is طاهر في نفسه, مطاهر لغيره. يعني it is pure in and of itself, and it is also permissible to use it as a purifier for other things. So it has two conditions. It is pure in itself and it also can be used to purify. It can be used in ibadat, like wudu and ghusl. It can be used in adat, like in drinking or cooking food. They mentioned the ayat of Allah in Surah Al-Furqan 25:48, وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. Allah has described the water that comes from the sky as tahur, meaning it's tahir within itself, it's pure, and it's mutahir. It can be used to purify something else. And also, they mentioned the statement of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked about the water of the sea, he said, huwa tahur. He used the word tahur with fatta, meaning that it's tahir, pure within itself, mutahir, you can be use it to purify something else. Huwa tahur, ma'ahu ahlu maytatuhu, and it's pure, and a purifier, and whatever, yani dies of itself, dies by itself in that water, is lawful. The second type of water is the water that is tahir. Okay, it is tahir. It is pure in and of itself, but it has something mixed with it. That doesn't take away its purity. It still remains pure. Okay, so there are two ways we can look at this water. But what is this water that's tahir? هو الماء الذي خالته شيء طاهر. Something has been mixed with it that is also pure. So it doesn't take the state of purity from that water. That water still remains tahir. Because what is mixed with it is not impure. It is pure also. So the water remains pure, like if it was mixed with sabun, soap, or leban, milk, or daqiq, flour, or other than that. If it is mixed with these things, فَغَيَّرَ مِنْ أَوْصَافِهِ كُلِّهَا أَوْ بَعْدِهَا. يعني meaning that when it was mixed with something, some of its characteristics may be changed, or all of them may be changed. What are the characteristics we're concerned about? Its smell, its taste, or its color. When we say awsaf, we mean three things. Its smell, its taste, or its color. So any one of them may change due to something pure being mixed with it. Any one of them or all of them. But as long as it doesn't take it out of its state of still being called water, so then in that case, if it doesn't take it out of its state of still being called water, then it is tahir. It is pure, and if it didn't change to the extent that we call it something other than water, it's still mutahir too. Yani this tahir water, second type of water, if something pure is mixed with it, it depends. That thing that's pure that mixed with it, when it changed its color or its taste or its smell, did it change it to such an extent that we don't call it water anymore? Or it changed it a little bit, in which case we still call it water. Okay, so then that's the two ways we're going to look at it. They said here, yani this is the water that has been mixed with something pure, so that it changed it in terms of its characteristics or its descriptions or its qualities, its taste or tell or smell or what? Color. It changed all of them or it changed some of them. So its ruling depends on how much did it change it. Its hukm is أَنَّهُ tahur. It is still tahur. يعني طاهر مطاهر. Both qualities of being pure in itself and purifying something is still tahur ما دام حافظاً لإطلاق اسم الماء عليه. As long as you can still call it water unrestrictedly. يعني once you have to say that this is يعني watered down tea, or yani watered down Kool-Aid or something. Okay, it's still water, but now we're not calling it water anymore because it changed in such a way that we're calling it something else. If that didn't happen, so it still is like the first category, tahir fi nafsihi mutahir fi ghairihi. It's tahur. Okay? Fa in kharaja an itlaqihi. But if it came out of this unrestricted يعني description of being called water, if it came out of that description, بحيث لا يتناوله اسم الماء المطلق, such that the word الماء المطلق, this description, يعني unrestricted use of the word water, it came outside of that description, in that case كان طاهرا في نفسه غير مطهرا لغيره. In that case, we say it is still pure in itself, but it can't be used to purify other things. Okay? So the second type of water is طاهر. It depends on how much it has changed. If we can still call it unrestrictedly water, then it's like the first category. If not, then it became another category that's pure in itself, but it can't be used to purify others. Now, Abdul Halim. The Zamzam is from the first category. The water that we use, it depends on the water that we use, where it's coming from. Yani, if it's in New York from the East River, yeah, that's polluted. That's polluted water. It's not the second type, it's the third type. That's polluted.
Now, my other question goes, when like the bathroom, we have no water for hours, and then even here, when it opens, it's like rusted.
Yeah, that's from the pipes, from the water system.
That color change.
It depends on what is its condition. The color may change and it still could be okay. You could test it, and when you test it, you say it's still safe to drink. But if you test it and you find that it has something else, then it may not be safe to drink. So it depends on its condition. The color change is not absolute. The color of the water may be changed by something, it may still be pure, and it may still be mutahir. It's possible. The color could change slightly, but it's still considered to be water.
But sometimes green, brown, like what?
Then don't drink it.
Well, I'm not saying drink it about using to purify. It's okay because we use it because it's a lime water.
Anyway, this is a technical question. I don't really know the condition of that water, so I don't want to speak about that. But what I want to say is that generally speaking, if that water is still safe and it didn't become something else, it's just color change because something was mixed with it through the piping, and so it's still water. Still water, and it's still tahir mutahir.
Our grandfather was drinking those sort of water in the village when they didn't have like system of...
Yeah. Yeah, some people are still drinking it today. They're still drinking it today. If they don't have access to clean water, they drink the water that they have. No. But sometimes that kind of water, it can cause harm to you. It can cause diarrhea and other kind of problems in your system when you drink that water, depending on what's in it and what is the condition. Anyway, let's go on because we actually still reviewing what we took from last class. Okay, this is a review from last class. And we already took a lot of time. Okay, the second type of water is tahir. We said that it depends. If it still can be called unrestrictedly water, then it's from the first category, it has the same ruling as the first category. Tahir, mutahir. But if it can no longer be called unrestrictedly water, but something else, then in that case it remains tahir in itself, but you can't use it for purification, for purifying other things. Okay? So, this is the ruling concerning it. It depends on if it still remained unrestrictedly described by as water, or it didn't remain unrestrictedly described as water. The third type of water is الماء النجس وهو الماء الذي خالطته نجاسة فغلبت عليه فغيرت أحد أوصافه الثلاثة اللون الطعم الرائحة. The third type of water is the water that najasa, some impure substance, has been mixed with it and overcame it, dominated it, such that it changed any one of its three characteristics, its color or its taste or its smell. It was mixed with what? With impurities, not mixed with something that's pure. That's the difference here. It's mixed with impurities, changed its color. It overcame it to the extent that it actually changed its color. The impurities changed its color, changed its smell, changed its taste. If the water is mixed with something that's pure, that changes its color or taste or smell, that may not affect it. But if it's mixed with something that's impure, and it so much that it changed its taste or its color or smell, this is najis. Al-ma' al-najis. It's impure water. What is the ruling concerning this water? حكمه أنه لا يجوز استعماله لا في العبادات ولا في العادات والله عالم. يعني its ruling is that it's not permissible to use it, not in acts of worship like wudu or ghusl, nor in adat, in drinking or cooking and so on. If it's najis, الماء النجس. ها؟ سكون نعم. خالطته نجاسة. نجاسة is defiled. So خالطت is feminine. خالطته نجاسة فغلبت عليه فغيرت أحد أوصافه الثلاثة. نعم. The impurities were mixed with it, were mixed into it, huh? And those impurities overcame it. It wasn't just a little bit of impurity that didn't affect it. It didn't change anything about it. It didn't change its color, its taste, its smell, or nothing. But some impurity went in, but it didn't change it. If the impurities overcame it such that it affected its qualities, taste, or smell, or color, in that case, that water became impure water, polluted water, defiled, unclean water that cannot be used in ibadat nor in yani adat. Naam. Something haram like what? That's a different topic, and it's too much fiqh involved, and a lot of difference of opinion. Yani, like you mix it with alcohol, is alcohol najis or not? There's difference of opinion about that. So we don't want to go to that one here. Let's go on now to page 10. Page 10 and page 11. Up to the top of page 12. Okay? النَّجَاسَةُ وَأَنْوَاعُهَا. النَّجَاسَةُ وَأَنْوَاعُهَا. أنواع is the plural of? No. So النَّجَاسَةُ means the impurity, the thing that is impure, the substance itself that's impure, and its types, and the types of impurities. النَّجَاسَةُ, first its ta'arif, its definition. النَّجَاسَةُ here, الْكَذَارَةُ. الْكَذَارَةُ meaning, الْكَذَارَةُ means something that is filthy, that's unclean, that is an impurity. Okay, so النَّجَاسَةُ, it is, he's just using another word here, so that we could have a better understanding. What do we mean by najasa? We mean al-qadhara. Yani something that's filthy, that's impure, that's unclean. So al-najasa, hiya al-qadharatu allati yajibu ala al-muslimi ayyatanazzaha anha wa yaghsila ma asabahu minha kal-adhirati wal-bawli. Yani al-qadhara, al-najasa is the filthy impurity which yajibu ala al-muslim. It is obligatory upon the Muslim an yatanazzaha anha, to keep yourself free from it. To keep yourself free from it, that you don't let it touch you. وَيَغْسِلَ مَا أَصَابَهُ مِنْهَا. And if it touched you, it's obligatory to wash yourself, wash it from you. Yani the first thing, you have to keep yourself free from it. But if you became afflicted by it, then you have to wash from it. يَغْسِلَ مَا أَصَابَهُ مِنْهَا. Like, for example, العَذِرَ. العَذِرَ وَالْبَوْلِ. العَذِرَ means feces, human excrement, feces. Or bowl, urine. Yani it means, we're reading the second line, right? كَالْعَذِرَةِ. Al-Adhirati wal-Bawli. This example of what he means by al-Najasa. It means feces, for example, feces or urine or things like this. Okay, here the discussion, huh? Not all. Not every living being. No, not every living being, no. Okay, but for sure human feces is impure. And likewise, the bowel of the human being, with some exception. The baby boy, yani the infant who hasn't eaten food yet. Anyway, we'll come to this point in, as we read through the further.
What's bowel?
Bowel urine.
No, no, I know. What's bowel?
Why is it kasra?
No, I'm saying kasra.
Yes, kasra now. كَالْعَذِرَةِ وَالْبَوْلِي وَالنَّجَاسَةُ مِنْهَا الْحِسِّي وَمِنْهَا يعني it should be shed on the scene مِنْهَا الْحِسِّي وَمِنْهَا الْمَعْنَوِي instead of the shed on the ya it should be on the scene الْحِسِّي and الْمَعْنَوِي so najasa is of two types there's حِسِّي and there's مَعْنَوِي الْحِسِّي means يعني that which is physical, that you can perceive by your sight or touching or smelling or tasting. Hissi. Yani you can perceive it by your senses. Al-hissi. Or al-ma'nawi. Al-ma'nawi means the opposite. Yani it's not yani physical najasa, physical impurity that you can smell or that you can touch. كما تقدم في الطهارة يعني in the same way that we said طهارة is يعني حقيقي and معنوي so likewise نجاسة also is حقيقي يعني حسي in this case you can perceive it by your senses and معنوي يعني that which is يعني not physical or material perceived by the senses فمن المعنوي يعني النجاسة المعنوية من المعنوي ما ورد في قوله تعالى إنما المشركون نجس يعني from the نجاسة that is not يعني perceived by the senses it's معنوي abstract نجاسة يعني impurities abstract impurity is what has been mentioned in the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah At-Tawbah 9th Surah 28th Ayat إنما المشركون نجس فلا يقربوا المسجد الحرام بعد عامهم هذا So indeed, verily, indeed the pagan disbelievers are najas. Huh? They are najas. They are an impurity. But what type of impurity? يعني معنوي. Why are they considered impure? Because of their kufr, their shirk, their ma'asiyah. Okay? So, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ The mushrik who committed shirk, that's impurity. Shirk. يعني, but it is ma'anawi. Indeed, the pagan disbelievers are impure. So, they should not go near the sacred masjid after this year of theirs. يعني, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet that the pagans cannot come to the Kaaba. After this year, this is their last year. Okay, go and do what you're doing after this year, they're not going to be allowed anymore. فالظاهر أن نجاسة المشركين نجاسة معنوية وليست حسية. معنوية or it should be نجاسة. Let me see. فالظاهر أن النجاسة المشركين نجاسة معنوية. نعم. وليست يعني نجاسة حسية نعم نجاسة نعم وليست نجاسة حسية نعم In other words, from this ayah it appears as though the impurity of the mushrikeen is abstract impurity not perceptible يعني physical impurity نعم حسية means that which you can perceive by your senses. That which you can see the impurity. You can smell it. Huh? Something you can touch it. But you can't touch shirk. You can't touch kufr. You can't touch sin. You can't touch it. You can't smell it. Yani physically, by your physical senses. So that is impurity, but it is ma'anawi. Meaning it's not hissi. Hissi means that which you can see, you can touch it, you can smell it, you can perceive it by your senses, hissiyya. But this type is ma'anawiyya.
Can we also add that the najasa of the mushrikeen is also real? Because they
I mean, they have physical impurities. Yes, they do have physical impurities, but that's not what is intended here. What's intended here is the spiritual impurity. Because if the physical impurity was intended, well, there are some mushriks that are clean.
That, so they're always in Janaba, they don't clean themselves.
No, they're not always. There are some who clean themselves. There are
Janaba, but ritual bath?
Yeah, there are.
So the ritual bath, you have to have the intention.
No, we're talking about the physical. If you're saying, you're talking about physical impurity. There are mushriks who take physical bath. They clean their impurities from Janaba. They clean their impurities from urine and defecation. Not every one of them are filthy. We are not talking about yani generally. Maybe generally they are not clean, but there are some who are clean. Yes, for sure. Do they, if they don't do it in the way they're supposed to do it, if a mushrik has marital relations with their spouse and they go and take a bath and clean whatever impurities is on their body, physically they are clean. But the spiritual impurity remains.
What I'm saying, for example, if a Muslim that didn't take to do, or even if he cleaned himself and didn't take the intention of the janaba, he's still in a state of janaba. Even if it's clean, even if it's clean, take the bath.
Okay. So you are talking about something specific here now, okay? This ayah, let's try to be clear though, right? No, it's okay. This ayah, the point of this ayah is to distinguish between the physical, sensory perceived impurities and that which is not sensory perceived, okay? Naam, what you are saying is true. Aside from the physical impurities of them, there's also impurity that's not perceived. Okay, you are right. On this point, we can say, because some of the scholars say that there's a purification that doesn't require intention, and there's a purification that does require intention. We're not going to go into this in detail, right? But just I agree with you that, for example, if somebody got feces on their clothing and they just washed it off without any intention, they just washed it, so the garment became clean with no intention. But if the person has to make wudu and they don't make intention, then that's different, okay? Because wudu requires intention. So in that sense, I agree with you. Yes.
Actually, I agree. I just said can we add that to the. I agree with the ayah here, the meaning, but I'm saying that in general, you can maybe add that. In addition to that, not just
I agree. I'm saying I agree with you. Yes, I agree. You are right. I mean, in that sense, yes, it is true. Because purification, certain types of purification only require physical purification. Like cleaning something that's najis from your garment, from the ground, from your body. But there's other type of purification that requires intention, like wudu and ghusl. Okay, so in that sense, you are correct. Absolutely. So that is a fine point. That is not intended here, but it's a good point. Jazakallah khair. We have to make note sometime, even though it's not mentioned here, that's not why this ayat is mentioned, but this is a correct point though. It's correct. Now, because there is a requirement for this purification to have intention, certain purification, but not all. Now. Yeah, he's like physically clean. Keeping the premises clean all the time. Ma'anawi. What's intended in this ayah, it appears to be ma'anawi. That's what it appears to be.
It's greater.
This is the greater najasa. This najasa ma'anawiyah is greater than the najasa hasiyah. It's greater, na'am, for sure. Actually, some of the scholars said the asal of tahara and najasa is the purification of the heart from kufr and shirk and disobedience. That's the asl. And then the physical impurity or physical purity is secondary. Is secondary. But what is more important is the spiritual purity. Now, okay, let's try to stay on track a little bit here. So they gave us this ayah and they said what the apparent meaning of it is that the najasa, the impurity, the physical impurity or the impurity of the mushrikeen what is intended here is najasa ma'anawiya, yani abstract, spiritual impurity, not yani physical sensory impurity. والنجاسات الحسية أنواع, يعني the physically perceptible impurities are of different types. أنواع من أهم هذه الأنواع ما يلي. From the most important of them are what follows. يعني these are not all of them. These are from the most important of them. The first one, غائط الآدمي وبوله. غائط الآدمي يعني means human feces, human excrement, and the urine of the human being, and the urine of the human being. أما الغائط, and this يعني this word غائط, it has two meanings. Its original meaning, يعني here the original meaning is the impurity. And it also has the meaning of the place where a person goes to relieve themselves from impurity. Okay, just a note. Al-gha'it here, yani, means the human excrement, feces, from the human being. So, we're mentioning the first one as two things, the human feces and the human urine. As far as the gha'it, فَلِحَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So, the proof that it is impure is based upon the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِذَا وَطِعَ أَحَدُكُمْ بِنَعْلِهِ الْأَذَى. إِذَا وَطِعَ أَحَدُكُمْ بِنَعْلِهِ الْأَذَى فَإِنَّ التُّرَابَ لَهُ تَهُورٌ. Meaning, if any one of you walks upon, yani steps upon, comes in contact in their walking, yani their sandals or their footwear come in contact with al-adha. Al-adha here means al-najasa. And here he is using it to refer more specifically to feces. But actually it means najasa, any kind of physical impurity. فَإِنَّ التُّرَابْ لَهُ تَهُورٌ. If a person walks upon some feces or najasa, then the turab, the soil of the earth that he walks upon after that, will be a means of purification for it. It will be lahu tahur. Yani it will be a purification for it. The what? Okay, but here, yeah, nam. Yani meaning that if a person's garment, the woman, if her garment is long and it touched some impurity, then the surface soil that she came across after that will be a means of purification for it. The meaning here, right? The meaning here is that what? That the point here is that the najasa, the feces that may be upon the earth that a person may step on, is purified by the walking upon the surface soil after that. Okay? But the point of mentioning this hadith is to show that feces is an impurity, is a physical impurity that requires physical purification. And the physical purification of it is the turab, the surface soil of the earth, is the tahur for it. This hadith, Rawahu Abu Dawood, wal-Hakim, wal-Bayhaqi. Yani Hakim in his book called the Mustadrak. And al-Bayhaqi, yani he has several books, probably Sunan al-Bayhaqi, Sunan al-Kubra or al-Sughra. Okay, and Shaykh al-Albani said in Mishkat that this hadith is sahih. In the hadith number 503 in Mishkat al-Masabi, in his checking of Mishkat. And he also mentioned in the Sunan of Abu Dawud. Okay, the second proof that the gha'it, the human feces, is najis, yani that it's a type of najasa, is the hadith of Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمْ الْمَسْجِدَ فَلْيَقْلِبْ نَعَلَيْهِ وَلْيَنْظُرْ فِيهِمَا فَإِنْ رَأَى خَبَثَ فَلْيَمْسَحُ بِالْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ ليصلي فيهما. أخرجه أحمد وأبو داود والحاكم وابن حبان. يعني أحمد in his مسند, أبو داود in his سنن, الحاكم in the مستدرك, and ابن حبان in his صحيح. The second hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, unlike the first hadith, mentions another word. Let me read the hadith. Is it about the meaning? No, if it's not, because I'm going to explain the meaning now. Sahih ibn Hibban? No, they are not considered to be authentic. All of them, like al-Bukhari and Muslim, no. Yani the Sahih of Ibn Hibban and the Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah are books that are considered to be authentic. However, they are not in the same standard of al-Bukhari and Muslim. So there are some hadith in there that yani are not authentic, that are not Sahih, for sure. Okay, so this hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدَ, if any one of you comes to the masjid, فَلْيَقْلِبْ نَعَلَيْهِ, then he should
turn over
his sandals. فَلْيَنْظُرْ فِيهِمَا, then he should look at them, both of them. Turn them over and look at what's on the bottom of them. Where has he been walking? فَإِنْ رَأَى خَبَثًا, so if he saw خَبَثًا, meaning al-adha, najasa. In the other hadith, he used the word al-adha. In this hadith, he used the word khabath. Both of them meaning najasa, meaning yani feces, specifically or in general, anything that is a physical impurity. فَإِنْ رَأَى خَبَثَ فَلْيَمْسَحُ, then he must wipe it, yani to remove it, بِالْأَرْضِ, wipe it on the ground, scrub it, rub it on the ground, on the sand, on the dirt, to remove the impurity that he sees. ثُمَّ لِيُصَلِّ فِيهِمَا, and then he should pray in them, in his sandals. And this is another discussion we're not going to have now, the praying in the sandals. As opposed to today, we never pray in our shoes, right? But it is from the sunnah that a person pray in their shoes whenever you got a chance. Not when you came to the masjid with a nice carpet and rug. Don't walk in there with your shoes and pray in your shoes. But when you got a chance, you're traveling, you're on the road or whatever, someplace, pray in your shoes. Don't take them off. If you're out in the street, don't take your shoes off, because it's sunnah to pray in your shoes. Pray in them. Naam. We're not going to get sidetracked with this masala.
The masjid is haram. I see them with their shoes. I say maybe because they're at work. And also in masjid, they're tired.
If they're working, then that's different. Those shoes they're wearing inside the masjid because they're clean. They are not wearing those shoes in the street. And they have some covering over it. But naam, in any case, we're not saying that it's haram to pray in the masjid with your shoes. But we're saying that if the masjid is carpeted, it's not becoming of you to walk in dirt and impurities and then come in the masjid with those shoes. If you did, you must clean them. You must clean them. Pray in your shoes. Yani the sunnah. Let's not give up this sunnah. Okay, let's finish. If any one of you comes to the masjid, let him turn over his two sandals and look at the two of them. And if he sees any impurity, then let him wipe it with the earth, scrub it on the earth until he cleans it, and then he should pray in them. This hadith reported by Imam Ahmed, Imam Abu Dawud, Al Hakim, and Ibn Hibban, rahimahumullah. That's as far as the ghait, human feces. As far as the bowl, فَلِحَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ وَأَنَسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, as far as the proof that bowl, the human urine, is يعني النَّجَاسَ, an impurity, it is based upon the hadith of Abu Hurairah and also narrated by Anas ibn Malik. May Allah be pleased with both of them. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر أن يراق على بول الأعربي ذنوب من ماء. يعني it is reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered أن يراق, يعني يراق, that some is poured over, نعم, على بول العربي, يعني over the urine of the Bedouin. ذنوب, يعني a big container, ذنوب, not ذنوب, ذنوب, a big container or bucket, من ماء, of water, that يراق, يعني what is it that is poured? ذنوبٌ من ماءٍ, a big bucket of water that he ordered to be poured over the urine of the Arabi. And this is the story that's well known to us. يعني the Bedouin who was used to being out in the desert, he didn't know about bathrooms and toilets, and he just went to a corner of the masjid and he urinated, and the people became very upset and they shouted at him, and the Prophet said, leave him, let him finish. And when he finished, then he told he told someone to get a big bucket of water and pour it over it. And in some of the narration of the hadith, it's authentically reported that the man said, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammadan wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. Yani, O Allah, have mercy upon me and Muhammad, and don't have mercy on anyone along with us. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that you have made something that's vast, you have narrowed it. Yani, the mercy of Allah is not going to be limited to me and you. Na'am, this hadith, he says, is in As-Sahihain, yani Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and in the Kutub As-Sunan, yani Al-Tirmidhi and others. This is the first, yani, two types of najasa, the ghait and the bowl of the human being. And after this, he says, in reference to the bowl, وَيَسْتَثْنَى أَوْ يُسْتَثْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ, yani, there's an exemption from that, and that is the bowl of the sabi, the urine of the, yani, sabi al-radi', yani, the suckling boy child, the suckling male child, as-sabi al-radi'. This is an exception. It's the 1, 2, 3rd line from the bottom of the page. Yustathna, yani, an exception to this, to that ruling of the bowel of the human being, is the urine of the suckling male child, infant suckling male child. Radi means suckling. Naam. Radi' suckling. Sabi means a male child, a small infant. فَإِنَّهُ يَكْفِي فِيهِ الرَّشْ. So what, indeed, it is sufficient for the bowl, the urine of the suckling male child who has not begun to eat regular food, it is sufficient just to sprinkle some water over it. And this is based, yani, rush, naam. Fihi a rush. Rush means to sprinkle some water over it. And this is based on lihadithi yughsalu min bawli al-jariyati wa yurashu min bawli al-ghulami. Yughsalu, yani, the garment or whatever must be washed from the urine of the jariya, the female, yani the female infant. Wa yurashu, and merely has to have some water sprinkled over it, min bawli al-ghulam, yani from the male child. And in some of the narrations it specifies that it's an infant who is suckling and who hasn't begun to eat regular food. Naam. Rush means sprinkle some water, yani. You might have a spray bottle, spray it. You might have just a bucket and sprinkle some water, whatever. And you just have to sprinkle water over it, that's all. It's sufficient. This hadith, أخرجه أبو داود والنسائي وابن ماجة وابن خزيمة وصححه الحاكم من حديث أبي سمحي خادم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأخرج أحمد والترمذي من حديث علي بمعناه. يعني this hadith reported by Abu Dawud in his Sunan, and Nasa'i also in his Sunan, Ibn Majah in his Sunan, Ibn Khuzaym in his Sahih, وصححه الحاكم, and Hakim declared it to be Sahih from the hadith of Abi Samhi, the servant of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise also Ahmed and At-Tirmidhi narrates from the hadith of Ali that which has the same meaning of it, bima'nahu, yani from Ali. But the hadith of Ali that has the same meaning is mawquf sahih. It's mawquf upon Ali, but it's sahih. So that means we'll say what? It is mawquf sanadan marfu hukman. Yani it's mawquf sanadan, it's stopping at Ali, but it's marfu hukman because, yani, Ali, he didn't make this up, right? It has to came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though the isnad stops at Ali. Okay, so this hadith, second hadith, is a distinction that separates or exempts the urine of the male infant from the ruling, yani from the general ruling of urine of the human being. The male infant, yani it is purified by just sprinkling water. The female infant is pure; their urine is purified by washing. By washing. Huh? Why is there a difference?
No. The boy.
Huh?
The limit age for the.
The limit age?
Yeah, for the boy.
Radi, yani has to be the child who's suckling, who's not eating regular food. Not eating regular food. Because some of the narrations mention, yani in the narration that's mawquf from Ali, that he refers to here, the wording of it is, yugsalu min bawli al-jariyati. Yugsalu min bawli al-jariyati, wa yundahu min bawli al-gulami ma lam yata'am. Ma lam yata'am. Yani this is the narration from Ali radiallahu anhu, that is mawquf, but it's sahih. Yani that the from the urine of the feet of the girl infant, you have to wash the urine. But yundahu means yurushu, same thing as yurushu. Yundahu means just to sprinkle some water from the urine of the male child, ma lam yata'am, as long as it didn't begin to eat food. That means it's a suckling child. It didn't begin to eat food.
Whenever they start eating, you have to wash.
When they start eating, then you have to wash, like everybody else. Like the rest of the other people. Think about it. Okay, after this.
Yeah, when they start eating, like, bringing the cow milk.
Yani, of course, cow milk is food. Yani, the suckling child is the child that's suckling from their mother, not suckling from a cow. Allahu alam, but cow, as far as I know, milk from the cow is food. It's food. Huh? It's not the same as the milk from the mother. It's not the same. So that's why a man has to be careful who he chooses for a wife. Anyway, let's not stop here. Jariya, after yugsalu min bawl al jariyati wa yurashu. وَيُرَشُّ يُرَشُّ يعني مبني للمجهول من بولي الغلام. Okay, after this, the second point that he mentions is لُعَابُ الْكَلْب يعني the saliva from the dog, the saliva of a dog. Can somebody get that note for me, please? Thank you. Samir. Thank you. شكراً جزاك الله خيراً. You have become very useful at 5 years old. Why is male child get sprinkled water from urine and girl child has wash by purifying it, by washing it?
Because they have blood.
No. That they have blood?
They may have.
The infant child? Allahu alam. Anyway, I didn't find any conclusive answer about this, so Allahu alam. Yani, this is from the things that are يعني العبادة المحضة. It's pure worship. يعني this is how Allah revealed it to us, to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And not for us to say, that sounds like male chauvinism. I don't know what's the difference. Children or children, they're all the same. Allahu A'lam. Allah knows that there's a difference.
I remember we did the previous class and the previous class. When it was debatable to the female child they have.
Okay, that if he said that, but only thing, no problem. But we just have to bring the proof, right? Since I don't have any proof, I cannot say that. But if he has proof, he can say it. No problem. We're not fighting with anybody who has proof. You have proof, alhamdulillah, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bik. We accept it. Ala ra's wal ayn. No problem. Lu'ab al-kalb, the saliva of the dog. And this, we said that it is najas. يعني it is a type of نجاسة لما ثبت في صحيحين وغيرهما من حديث أبي هريرة. That is based on what is confirmed in the two authentic صحيحs, the صحيح البخاري مسلم and other than them, from the حديث of أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, that he said, إِذَا شَرِبَ الْكَلْبُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَغْسِلْهُ سَبَعًا. This is one of the narrations that came in Bukhari and Muslim. If a dog drinks in the utensil or the container of any one of you, then he whose container it is must wash it 7 times. This shows that it is najis. وَمَا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمُ وَأَحْمَدُ. And also, that which has been reported by Muslim, not by Bukhari, only by Muslim, and by Ahmed, يعني تُهُورُ إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ إِذَا وَلَغَ فِيهِ الْكَلْبُ أَنْ يَغْسِلَهُ سَبَى مَرَّاتٍ أُولَهُنَّ بِالتُرَابِ. This hadith that we took in hadith class. يعني Muslim has the narration, the purification process for the container of any one of you. If a dog licks in it, means sticks his tongue into the container and moves it around inside of it, if he walaga fihi, yani the dog does that, yagsilahu, yani the purification process for that is that he has to wash it 7 times, the first of them with turab. This proves that the saliva of the dog is najas. Third point, dam al hayd. Naam. Can it substitute for the turab? I don't think so. But Allahu A'lam. Yani can some type of detergent substitute for the turab? Allahu A'lam. But it could be possible, maybe. But yani since this is, again, a type of worship that we didn't have explained from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so we don't know exactly why Allah said you have to use surface soil. So then, can we determine by our intellect that I have something that's equal to surface soil? It's just as effective. It does the same exact thing. Allahu A'lam. We don't know that for a fact. You might say this type of agent is more effective than surface soil, because whatever the surface soil does, this does it better. That's your claim. But is that a fact? I'm saying, we're not going to take a long time with this discussion. I'm saying, Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. Perhaps. But because it is ibadah, mahva, that we don't know. He didn't explain to us why the surface soil. So we're only guessing. Now the scientist said, oh, the surface soil has this, that, and the other. And wow, that it does remove the impurities that came from the saliva of a dog. So now they think they discovered. But Allah has wisdom beyond what scientists know. Okay, so that's why I'm saying, Allahu A'lam. Perhaps. But if the person uses what has been legislated by revelation, then there's no doubt. يعني دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. Time is short. One more at least. We have to dam al-hayd. يعني the blood from the menses, from the woman when she has a monthly cycle. لحديث, based upon the hadith of أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله عنهما. يعني أسماء, the daughter of Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with both of them. She said, قالت جاءت امرأة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت إحدانا يصيب ثوبها من دم الحيضة. Should be with ta marbuta. In the actual hadith, it came with ta marbuta. Even though the meaning is the same, but in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, it came الحيضة with ta marbuta. يعني إحدانا يصيب ثوبها من دم الحيضة. يعني meaning one of us, her garment has been afflicted or touched by the blood from menses. كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ بِهِ. They left out the word بِهِ. Came in the actual hadith. كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ بِهِ. What is she supposed to do with it? يعني with her garment that has been touched by the blood from menses. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, تَحُتُّهُ ثم تقرصه بالماء ثم تنضحه with dhamma and dhamma تنضحه ثم تصلي فيه متفق عليه. Agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Yani a woman came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and she said, one of us, her garment has been touched by the blood from menses. What is she supposed to do bihi with it? He said, تحطه. Yani scrape it or rub it or scratch it. Yani that place where it was touched. ثم تقرصه بالماء. Then rub it with water. يعني after scraping whatever is there, then rub that place with water. ثم تنضحه. and then sprinkle water on top of that, yani to finish washing it. ثُمَّ تُصَلِّ فِيهِ, and then pray in that garment. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. This exact wording is the wording of Muslim. This exact wording is the wording of Muslim from his Shaykh, yani Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah, rahimahumullah. I'm going to come to those words, inshallah. No, it's the tanḍaḥuhu with dhamma and dhamma, not with fatha. Tanḍaḥuhu, yani it's fi'l mudari, it's marfu'un with dhamma. Tanḍaḥuhu, they have fatha here. Tanḍaḥuhu. Okay, ihdana tusiba garment. What should she do? Tahuttuhu. They said in the footnote number 5 on the bottom of the page, tahuttuhu means tahukkuhu bitarfi hajarin aw awdin mathalan. Yani means to scrape it with the tarf, the edge of a stone or the edge of a stick, for example, to scrape it with something. That's the meaning of the first word, tahuttuhu, tahukkuhu. ثُمَّ تَقْرُصُهُ, also footnote number 6, تَقْرُصُهُ meaning تَدْلُقُهُ, يعني دلق, تَدْلُقُهُ بِأَطْرَافِ الْأَصَابِعِ وَالْأَذْفَارِ, يعني means to rub it, تَدْلُقُهُ means to rub it with the extremities of the fingers or the finger and the fingernails. Huh? But this one, rubbing it with the extremity of the finger, is with water. يعني after you scraped it off with a rock or a stone or something, then rub it with the fingertips, with water. ثُمَّ تَنْدَحُهُ. تَنْدَحُ also footnote number 7, تَرُشُّهُ. تَنْدَحُ تَرُشُّهُ means sprinkle it بِالْمَاءِ with water, that is to wash it finally. To wash it. This hadith is مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, but the exact wording is the wording of Muslim that he narrates from his Shaykh Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah, رحمه الله. This hadith is a proof of what? The impurity of the blood of menses. Yani that you have to scrape it, and then you have to rub it with water, and then you have to sprinkle it to finally wash it clean. We still have a few minutes. Not the, yani whatever has been touched. Yani if, I mean, yani the menses, the blood of menses came from a woman, didn't get over the whole garment. It got in some place on the garment. So wherever it got, yani wherever it's touched, then that place has to be washed. Number 4, lahmu al-khinzir. Lahmu al-khinziri. Yani the flesh of swine. The flesh of swine. Okay? Note, flesh. This is based on the saying of Allah the Most High. قُلْ لَا أَجِدُ فِي مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ. I have not, say, yani Allah is ordering the Prophet, say, I have not found in that which has been revealed to me, muharraman, anything that has been made forbidden, ala ta'imin yata'amuhu, for anyone who wants to eat something. I have not found anything in what has been revealed to me that there's something haram for the person who wants to eat it, illa, except an yakuna maytatan, that it is a dead animal, meaning it died by itself, it wasn't slaughtered. Aw daman masfuhan, or blood that is poured forth, meaning the blood that comes from the animal, for example, when it's slaughtered. The blood that came out, the blood flow, that blood, you can't, you know, they eat that. They have something. Allahu musta'an. Aw lahma khanziri, or the flesh of the swine. Yani, these are the exceptions the Prophet ﷺ is ordered to say, I didn't find anything in what has been revealed to me to be haram, forbidden for the person who wants to eat, except the animal that dies by itself, the blood, that blood, yani eating blood, or the flesh of swine, فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ. فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ. يعني رِجْسٌ means impure. Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 145th Ayat. يعني this is the proof of what? That the flesh of swine is rij. يعني it's impure. رِجْسٌ, نَجِس. They said here, أَرْرِجْسُ and نَجَسُ. Yani ar-rijsu means an-najasu. An-najas, yani means the impurity itself, as opposed to najis with kasra, means something that is impure. Yani najas means it is a physical impurity. Najis means something that is impure. So it's close. طيب number 5 بولو وروث ما لا يؤكل لحمه يعني the urine and the droppings of that animal whose flesh is not eaten is not allowed to be eaten يعني meaning the animal who can eat their flesh then it's not impure the animal whose flesh we cannot eat their urine and their droppings is impure is an impurity is najasa this is based on the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu may Allah be pleased with him قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الغائطة يعني أتى النبي يعني النبي is the fa'il صلى الله عليه وسلم الغائطة is the مفعول به the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to الغائطة here remember I said غائطة has two meanings the meaning of غائط here is the place where a person goes to relieve theirself the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to الغائطة the place to relieve himself فأمرني يعني ابن مسعود فأمرني أن آتيه to bring to him يعني آتيه to come to him بثلاثة أحجار with three stones يعني to clean himself with فوجدت حجرين so I found two stones والتمست الثالثة and I searched for a third one فلم أجده but I didn't find it فأخذت روثةً so I took a piece of dung فأتيته بها so I came to him to the Prophet with that روثة I brought it to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخذ الحجرين so he took the two stones وألقى الروثة and he threw away the dung وقال هذا رجس يعني in the book it says رجس but actually يعني this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Ibn Majah and Ibn Khuzaymah وزاد في رواية إنها رجس إنها روثة حمار يعني in Bukhari the wording is هذا Riksun with kaf instead of jim. Riksun. And these two words don't exactly mean the same thing. But in any case, yani in Bukhari came hadha riksun. And also in Ibn Abi Shaybah it came riksun. And in Tirmidhi and Bayhaqi it came riksun. But then they said, Rahu al-Bukhari wa Ibn Majah wa Ibn Khuzaymah. In Ibn Majah and in Ibn Khuzaymah came riksun. Riksun with jim. وزاد في رواية and Ibn Khuzaymah added in a narration further wording he said إنها رجس إنها روثة حمار indeed it is impure indeed it is the dung or the droppings of the حمار there's a long thick discussion concerning this particular issue but we're not going to have it today our time is out رجس يعني the general understood meaning of riksun is the what is generally understood is that it's rijsun يعني it's impure but that may not be the correct meaning even though even some of the Arabic dictionaries say that riksun means rijsun but actually Allahu alam يعني what is intended by it but in at least the apparent meaning and this seems to be the what is generally understood it means that It's impure. But there's another meaning that may be more correct, Wallahu A'lam, that the meaning of it may be, it is the food of the himar that became their waste. And as An-Nasa'i said, إِنَّهُ طَعَامُ الْجِنِ It is the food of the jinn. So the meaning may be riksun, يعني it may mean that it was changed, was transformed from the food of that animal to the food of someone else, the jinn. And this is a meaning that came for this word linguistically, and this meaning, it may be the more correct meaning of it, Wallahu A'lam. In any case, if that is the meaning, then the meaning will be here, that it's the food of the jinn. If that's not the meaning, then the more generally understood meaning is that it's unclean, it's an impurity. Which supports, yani the point here that the bowl and the rauth of the animal that we don't eat their meat is unclean. Although that might not be the meaning, Wallahu A'lam, there's a big dispute concerning this, and yani, today we can't even look at it, but at least I'm saying, just be aware, the more generally understood meaning is impure. That's in line with what we're studying here. Another possible meaning, as Al-Imam al-Nasa'i said, yani that it's the food of the jinn. So it was turned from food to another type of food. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.